Welcome to another episode of Gospel Living Made Awesome. I'm Chaz Hathaway, author of Marriage is Ordained of God, but Who Came Up with Dating? A humorous guide to help you succeed in dating, and Giraffe Tracks, the inspiring true story of an LDS missionary in post-apartheid South Africa. I'm going to do something a little different today. Actually, I was going to do the fourth of the Valentine's series, and I did notice this week that I could have done five for the week that I started, because we do have one more week before Valentine's Day. And so instead of finishing that series today, I thought I'd do something a little different. Actually, I was in church today in my testimony meeting, and right at the end of testimony meeting, a man in the ward that I really look up to, who I somebody I would love to be like someday, just the kind of person that I'd like to be someday, got up and bore his testimony, and he talked a little bit about bearing testimony and sharing your feelings about the Savior, and I realized that I have not borne my testimony on this podcast other than in small specific ways relating to the topic. And I'm not going to bother doing a lot of editing on this episode. I usually go through and clean up all the times that I fumble my speech and so forth. I'm going to just kind of let it roll and see how this goes. What I thought I'd do is share a little bit of my own testimony, partly because after he did share his testimony, I wished that I still had time to share my testimony up there, and that it would be cool to have shared it. I had started the meeting with the idea, I'm just going to let this be one of the times that I sit here and listen to everybody else's testimony, absorb everybody else's testimony. And I guess I was being a little selfish that way. But I guess I'll start out by talking about how I first felt the Savior's love in my life, and how I first started to recognize his influence in my life. And I'm not one of those people who can pinpoint one time that I came to know, but I had many times that I came to know more fully. You might say I had many conversions, many times coming to the Savior and realizing what he meant to me and what he was to me. Excuse me. When I was around 8 or 9, maybe, I remember I was in grade school, somewhere between 4th and 6th grade. I was kind of a rowdy kid most of my elementary years and kind of getting into trouble, not big trouble, but I was always the one speaking up and making a lot of racket and getting distracted with things. I think the teachers kind of had me labeled as something of not a troublemaker per se, but as one of the rowdy ones, I guess. And I remember thinking on this one day and thinking about how I'd kind of got in trouble a lot. And I remember one day thinking, you know what? I don't want to be bad anymore. I want to be good. I want to be a good kid. And it was still a challenge. I still got into trouble sometimes, but I distinctly remember thinking I wanted to be good. And I had been raised going to primary, been raised by a wonderful family, an amazing set of parents that shared their testimonies, taught us the gospel, were very strong in their moral standing and taught those things to us. And so I knew what was best. And I, previous to this time, I'd try to get away with what I could. I'd tell bad jokes and stuff when I knew they weren't listening, or when I was at school and would hang out with kids that would tell bad jokes and laugh with them and things like that. But I kind of realized at that point in my life that that's not who I wanted to be. I wanted to be a good kid. And it took some time to kind of get over being rowdy in school, and I had to kind of weed out some of the friends that I had and kept the friends that were either a good influence on me or that were open to being good, I guess. And so that was probably the first thing that comes to mind. Next would probably be around the age of 12, I think. When I was 12, I started feeling more like I wanted to be involved in gospel topics. I remember I'd save up my allowances, which wasn't very much, but it was a little bit, and I'd save them up. And then I'd love going to the distribution center, the church distribution center, and getting little pictures of Christ, because the little ones were the only ones I could afford. Though I could afford sometimes some of the big, just basic ones. And so I'd get a couple of those, and maybe even a talk on cassette or something, you know, little things that I could afford. And I'd get those and I'd hang them up in my room, just because that's kind of what I was starting to feel, a desire to have that influence more fully in my life. I really felt like I wanted to be a spiritual person. I wanted to be closer to Heavenly Father. And at that time I tried a number of times to start a regular routine of reading the scriptures, and it never caught on during those years fully, but I'd find myself reading the scriptures occasionally and actually enjoying doing it. I didn't fully understand what I was reading, but I felt good while I was reading. I liked the feeling that I had while I was reading. I remember one time reading 1 Nephi, and my idea was to read the Book of Mormon, and I think I got through a few chapters, but during that first chapter, reading that first chapter in the first book of Nephi, where Lehi is talking with his, hang on a second, my kids are screaming, one second. Sorry, my mistake, it was not screaming, it was happily playing, which is just fine with me. So yeah, I was starting to feel a desire to become more connected spiritually. And I was reading in 1 Nephi, where Lehi first has that vision, and he sees the Savior at the right hand of God, and the pillar of fire and so forth. Anyway, and then he goes and he prays to the Lord, and he's exclaiming, "Oh, how great are thy works, O Lord, and how merciful thou art." And I remember thinking, wow, I'd like to pray like that. And so I started doing that. I started trying to be more praise, to put more praise in my prayers. And I started finding that prayers could be quite cool when you were really trying to connect with the Lord. And also, while I was 12, I remember having a strong desire to receive my patriarchal blessing, you know, that blessing, just a recorded blessing that is printed that we can refer to throughout our lives. I went to my mom and said, you know, I've been thinking about it, and I think I'd like to get my patriarchal blessing. And she said, okay, well, why don't we think about it and pray about it for about a week, and then if you still feel like it next week, then let me know, and we'll get you set up with an appointment with the bishop. Probably she was just trying to make sure that I wasn't just thinking about it for a minute and didn't really care, and that was a good thing, because I did pray about it, and I did ask, and the feeling got stronger. And so the next week I told her about it again and said, is that okay, you know? And she said, yeah, and she got me the phone number for the bishop, and I made an appointment and got a patriarchal blessing recommend, and then went and got my patriarchal blessing with my parents there with me. And that was a very powerful experience for me, and it was so exciting a week later or so to get it in print as well and be able to read through it and see what the Lord had in mind for me. What was my mission in life? What was my purpose? And I read that blessing at least once a week. I think I read it more than that for quite a while. And that helped me to feel closer to Heavenly Father. I think I knew that God was there. I didn't doubt it. I can say that much. I had no doubts that God was there, that the Savior was real, and so I could feel that testimony growing. I could feel that witness that Jesus Christ is my Savior. It was growing with me. And then when I was about 14 or 15, I think I was 14, when I first asked Heavenly Father, I'd heard in Sunday school some lessons talking about this, how we can pray and ask the Lord about the truthfulness of the gospel. And I remember praying and asking Heavenly Father if the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints is true, if it's the true church. And it wasn't that evening while I was praying, but the next morning as I was thinking more on it and kind of having additional prayers about it, I remember having some distinctly strong spiritual feelings that to me were a clear witness that this was right, that the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints is God's kingdom on the earth, and that it is led by the Savior, Jesus Christ. And that was a big thing for me, because I not only did I believe that it was true, but now I had a witness that I could say, yes, I prayed, and God answered my prayer, and I found that it was true. Another instance, around the same time period, it was in Sunday school, I had a Sunday school teacher who was teaching about Joseph Smith, about his teachings, about his life, and so forth. And at the end of it, I remember very clearly him looking straight into our eyes and saying, I know that Joseph Smith was a true prophet of God. I know that. And I watched him and I thought, wow, I want to know that too. And so I went home and I prayed about it very sincerely. I wanted to know, is Joseph Smith a true prophet? And I think I knew already, because I knew that the church was true. I knew that Jesus Christ was real. But I'd never prayed specifically about that. And at that time, I received a very clear witness, very much like I did with asking about whether or not the church was true. And those testimonies kind of formed the basis for the rest of my life in terms of my testimony, because as I continued to pray about other things, about different aspects of the gospel, they all came as similar witnesses, and all as, it was kind of like those initial witnesses laid the foundation for my lasting testimony. And it's kind of funny to be able to say, I always kind of knew and always believed and yet had these distinct witnesses. So it's kind of hard to say that, you know, when I received my testimony, but I can say very clearly and distinctly, I have a testimony of the gospel. And we throw that word around a lot, but let me tell you exactly what my testimony is. I know that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and I know that God lives. I know that Jesus Christ is my personal, individual Savior. I know that He did what He did for me, and I know He did what He did for you, and I know He did what He did for every person who ever lived on the earth. And what that knowledge has done for me has opened up a different view of things than I may have had if I had simply just done what I was expected to do, if I had simply went to church because my parents wanted me to, or because that's what my culture does. And I admit I live in a place where there are a lot of Mormons. There are a lot of members of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. And this is the way that we live. And this is the kind of lifestyle that we have. But for me, I can't say it was different necessarily, but I can say that my testimony was not based on those things. It may have been that the lifestyle, the family that I grew up in, the parents that I had that taught me these principles, introduced the ideas to me. But the testimony that I received, the witness from the Lord, from the Holy Ghost, through the Holy Ghost, that I really am a child of God, and that God really exists, and that Jesus Christ really is there, those things are independent of any other knowledge that I have, independent of any experience that I have in life. I don't know how to explain it other than to say that I know those things, and I can't be convinced otherwise, because the witness by the Holy Ghost has been too powerful. It's not just a feeling, though it's a very powerful feeling. It's not just a list of experiences, though the experiences were very powerful. It's something that has weaved itself so entirely into my person that I cannot deny it. It's who I am. It's what I am. And I think it's because the Lord has made me who I am. He has put inside me what he wants me to know, what he wants me to have as a frame of reference for everything that I do in life. And I'm not 100% faithful to that testimony all the time. I can say that I'm worthy. I try to live a worthy life, and I think I do follow the Savior, but I do make mistakes constantly. I'm always goofing up, and you know, I'll find myself yelling at my kids and saying, there's a better way. I know there's a better way. The Lord has shown me a better way than just screaming at my kids. Or maybe I'm getting too frustrated at something, and I know that there's a better way because I've been taught a better way. So I'm not trying to say that I'm in any way, shape, or form close to everything that God intends for me to ultimately be. I've got a long way to go. I know that. And thank heaven that he is willing to be patient with me and work with me, because I do have a long way to go. But one thing I can say for sure, he has blessed me with a sure testimony of his existence, of his reality. We talk about gifts of the Spirit, and there is in the Doctrine and Covenants, I don't have my scriptures with me, otherwise I would look it up, that says that some have the gift to know by the power of the Holy Ghost that he is real and so forth, that God is real, and to others it is given to believe on their words and to follow, so that they, by doing what's right, may also have all those blessings. Well, I can honestly say, without any reservation, that I am one who has been blessed with the gift to know, beyond the shadow of a doubt, that God is real. I don't know why God has given me that blessing. I don't know why he made it so I was one who knows for certainty of his reality, this is his kingdom on the earth. I don't know why he's blessed me with that gift. He could have just as easily allowed me to believe on other people's words and follow, and therefore be worthy of the blessings that way. But I can honestly say that he has given me that gift to know without any doubt that he is real. And strange as it may sound to those who have gone through that questioning process and doubting and then discovering and so forth, I haven't been one who's doubted. And I don't know why the Lord has given that to me, but I haven't doubted. And I don't doubt, and I cannot think of a time in my life when I have ever doubted the truthfulness of his existence. And of course I've thought in my mind, you know, what if it wasn't real? But it's always with the idea, well, of course it's real. You know it's real. He's told you himself. You know, so even when I try to play with my thoughts and say, well, what if this isn't the case? What if the church isn't true? And I, you know, will think, well, then this is the case. But all the while I'm thinking, I know it's true. God has told me. And how can I not believe a God who has revealed himself to me through his voice or through his witness? And I can just never doubt. I'm just not given the opportunity to doubt. And while I highly respect and have strong feelings of admiration for those who have been through that doubting and wrestling and then coming out with the testimony of the truthfulness of the gospel, while I have strong admiration for those people, I'm afraid I'm not one of them. And I can never be one, I don't think, because of the witness that the Lord has given me. And I'm not trying to brag in that. I don't think he's given me that because I'm anything special. I think he's given me that gift so that I can share it, so that I can share my testimony as completely as I know how. And this is the kind of thing where a loss of words is inevitable. You know, there just aren't words to convey a knowledge, words to convey a witness beyond just saying, I know it's true. I know it's true. And so with that, and with my kids screaming in the background, I'm going to go ahead and finish up. And like I said, this is not a normal podcast. I'd normally finish up with the, you know, my little closing remarks and so forth, but I'm not going to do that today. I'm going to say to you that I know that these things are true, and I know them by the power of the Holy Ghost, and I say these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.